Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening to him said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. Most priests in my position, in my shoes right now, would just pretend like that reading from Paul never happened. There's plenty to say in, you know, the book of Joshua or what Jesus told us, and let's, you know, just let those things be, you know, over there and not have to worry about complaints later or, you know, who am I to, you know, tell all of you how to live your marriages, right? And well, I woke up this morning, I guess, feeling a little dangerous because I want to talk about it. So I'm going to dive right into Ephesians chapter 5, where St. Paul does say, "Wives, be subject to your husbands." But I think if we look at this a little deeper and we actually interpret this the way the Christian church has interpreted it for 2,000 years, it will sound differently. You see, Paul is writing a letter to the Ephesians. These are not faithful Jewish men and women who've just converted to Catholicism. There were some of them, but this is mostly a pagan town, you could say, a pagan city that's converting to Christianity. The holy water is still wet on their heads, right, from their baptism. They're just beginning to leave a very barbaric way of life to take on something much deeper and more beautiful called a Christian way of life. And so, while for Paul, if he was writing to his Jewish brothers and sisters, they would, as Jewish people know, that men and women are created equal. Genesis says that God created humanity, male and female, he created them, and the two are joined together into one flesh. You see, for the Jewish people, it wasn't a question of was one superior or not to another, but in the Ephesians' worldview, it's sad to say it, but women were most often considered the property, right, of the husband. They were an object that was possessed and used by the men. And so as they now become Christian, Paul is trying to explain to them something deep and beautiful. He's treading lightly, right? Because, you know, he's got to make sure that they can little by little embrace all that it means to be a Christian. He begins his letter, however, saying, there's a line that we just forget we heard it because we always think of the second line. But the first line is, "To husbands and wives," he says, "husbands and wives, be subject to each other out of reverence for Christ." So from the beginning, it's a mutual laying down your life for the other. And then he explains that for what it looks like for the wife, and then explains it for the husband. But it's the same concept of giving yourself to the other. Now the word "be subject to" or "submit to" in Greek, which I'm not that good at, as you know, hypotassomai is the verb. And it's the same verb that we see in the Gospel of Luke when it says the boy Jesus, remember, he gets lost in the temple, and then Mary and Joseph find him. Mary's like, you know, Jesus, what are you doing? You know, you shouldn't have done that. And it says, then Jesus submitted himself to them. He went to Nazareth and lived underneath them and was reverent to them. It's also the same verb that Paul will say to the Corinthians when he says that the Father will subject all things to himself and the Son will subject himself to the Father. So when Paul says to couples, subject yourself to one another out of reverence for Christ, it's basically saying what Christ did, we are all to do. And so that's a part of our faith, which is so beautiful. As Christians, we live the life of Christ in our own life. Now, Paul, as he continues the letter, right, with this mutual self-giving and reverence for one another, he's also bringing in this powerful reality of Christian faith, which is that human or Christian marriage is a reflection of something divine in the Trinity. Okay? The Trinity is a mutual self-giving of one to the other. And when Jesus comes to the earth, it says he laid down his life for his bride, the church. We are his bride. He is the bridegroom. It might sound funny to say that, and you don't necessarily feel like a bride, especially if you're a man, right? But it's a deep theological understanding that Jesus has loved us with a sacrificial love that couldn't be greater. And why did he love us? He wanted to redeem us, to save us, to bring us to heaven. So that brings me to just kind of a very simple application of this to our own lives here. Because Christian marriage has that reality that one is helping the other to get to heaven. When a young man falls in love with a woman and he goes and gets that ring and he kneels down and he asks for her hand in marriage, what he's saying to that woman is that he cannot think of a heaven in which she is there. And he loves her so much, he wants to live with her in such a way as to make sure they both get to heaven to enjoy life forever. And the woman, when she says yes, she's saying in that simple yes, she's saying similar words and similar meaning, that she can't think of heaven without him. And you see how they're both helping each other, like Christ helps the church to get to heaven. And we all live that beautiful sacrificial love, which you can call it being subject to one another. Later on in the magisterium of the church, one of the popes, Pius XI, in the 1930s, right when kind of modern, you could say, secular ideas were creeping in and he was trying to explain marriage, he said, Paul calls the husband the head, but the wife is the heart. As the two become one flesh, you can't have a person who has a head but no heart or a heart but no head. They're both equally important. And it's in the dynamic of love between them that they begin this new reality, which in their home becomes a domestic church, he called it. It's a beautiful way of saying that just like Christ loves the church, husbands and wives love each other. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we listen to these words of the Ephesians, let's not be afraid of them or worried about them or think that they're just some old-fashioned Christian idea, right? It's extremely beautiful to just feel like it's old-fashioned is to not really understand the depths of what's happening when Paul reveals this mystery. Right? Every time and place, just like the Ephesians, has to take these words and bring them into our own time, our own cultural understanding of things, and that's part of that holy courtship that happens between couples. As they get engaged, there's months of preparation, and they have these beautiful conversations about how they want to live their life together, what their dreams will be, how they'll love one another. You see, Paul is writing on a level it's beyond the simple who does what chores around the house, right? We're much deeper than that. And so in the intimacy of your own relationships with your spouses, these realities become true in the flesh. Now, a lot of you here no longer have your spouse. Your spouse has gone ahead of you to heaven. But you see, while that's a sad reality, it's also part of that love you began here on earth, because you said to one another, I want to help you get to heaven. And if the lonely waiting of these years before you also are called to heaven, right, in this time, it's also, be assured that your spouse there in heaven with our Lord is praying for you and interceding for you. That's a part of human life. We live in a broken world. But Christ came down to this world and brought these beautiful truths to help us live a life that was full of meaning and joy, knowing that every step of our life is bringing us closer to that communion of saints in heaven, which Jesus tells us is a wedding feast where we will celebrate in joy and there will be no more tears. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.